You're tuned in to Nerd Overload, your weekly show for video games, movies, TV shows, comics, tech news, and more. Now your hosts, Cody Pinnick, Samantha Cross, Sam Dunham, and Josh Harrison.
Nerd Overload is go! The pop and geek culture show where we talk about pop and geek culture stuff. It's starting now. This is the show. I'm Cody.
I'm Sam.
I'm Josh.
I'm Samantha.
We have a great show for you. Believe it or not.
Yeah, I was going for a Thunderbirds thing there, I kind of lost it partway through.
Yeah, no, I think you got it across. We have a great show for you this week. We have a bunch of news, but first, let's get into some things we've been checking out.
I played the Splatfest.
Ah, cool.
Yes.
For Splatoon.
So did we.
I played almost all 4 hours of it.
Nice.
I missed the first hour.
And then I took like an hour break in the middle for like food. Because, you know, splatting fools works up a hunger.
That's right. So how was it?
Did we mention this is for Splatoon 2?
Yeah, Splatoon 2. Yeah, Splatoon 2 on the Nintendo Switch to basically stress test the servers for when the game comes out on Friday.
Yeah, you could play it for like 4 hours last Saturday.
And they switched maps in the middle. It was crazy.
That's how the game goes.
I know, but I was under the impression that we're only going to be two maps. Oh,
I missed the first set. What were the first ones?
The first set was a nightclub.
Oh, cool.
Which was kind of fun. And then there was a...
It was the art.
Right, yes. It was
art school.
Yeah, it was like an art school, yeah.
Because I got to play like one round there and then it switched.
Yeah, oh, man, it was so much fun. Yeah, you couldn't gain any money or anything, get new weapons and stuff, but you've got to try out like the bare bones basic stuff.
Oh, that's cool.
So like the splat roller, the normal splat rifle thing, the dualies, the two machine guns.
That's what I'm looking forward to, the dualies.
And the charger.
Okay.
I couldn't figure out how to dodge roll with the dualies.
I hate the charger. It's my least favorite weapon.
I've never liked the charger.
It's my least favorite weapon.
I didn't even try it.
I splat roller. I was doing the roller for a while, and then I switched up to the basic rifle. I feel like I did way better with the basic rifle. I would get on teams where, like, we have, like, all rollers and no, like, backup. So you'd get mowed down like it was nothing.
Yeah, that happens.
Though the secondary special weapon for the rollers is kind of fun. It's like a paint Roomba.
Oh, that's cool.
Like, you throw it down, and it, like, just goes. It goes until it hits a wall, then it bounces around and just covers everything in paint.
Oh, that's cool.
I got chased by, like three of them at once. It was nuts. I'm just, like, backing up, like, no.
I was kind of hoping they'd switch up game modes and put some tower control or something in there. But it was all turf war where you got to paint the most ground.
Well, this was for the Splatfest. So,
yeah, it was ice cream versus cake.
Mm-hmm.
And if you picked cake, you're obviously a subhuman. So
and cake got trounced thoroughly.
Pretty thoroughly, yeah.
Oh, yeah. 9 times out of 10, I was fighting another ice cream team.
Yeah, there wasn't enough cake players. Weirdly, the end results, the percentages were exactly the same as the inter-office poll they did at Nintendo.
Really? That's weird.
Hmm.
Did you also catch that the day after was, coincidentally, National Ice Cream Day?
No, I did not catch that.
Yeah, July 16th, I think it was. Yeah. Huh.
Marina said that it was the law now that ice cream was better, and then it was. She made it happen.
Yeah.
But no, I had a lot of fun with it. There was one map, the second rotation of maps was two, like, towers with a bunch of, like...
I like that one.
With a bunch of, like, zigzagging stuff in the middle.
I like that one.
I loved that one. I hated the
skate park.
I liked skate park.
It was like a BMX track.
Yeah. With a big hill in the middle that you basically fought
it
over.
It was called the Humpback Pump Track, which is, like, the worst name I've ever
and that's
heard.
A great name. I like that a lot.
Yeah, but, like, the marina...
The pump.
Yeah.
Now you have to cut that out.
No, I'm not.
But the marina towers or whatever was a lot of fun. That one had zip lines in it.
Yeah, which I don't think maps had those in the first one.
No, that was a feature. The zip lines was really only a feature in the single player mode in the first game.
Yeah,
if I remember right.
It's cool to see them show up in multiplayer now.
Yeah,
it's also a lot of fun shooting people out of them.
Yeah. So, yeah, I jumped into it long enough to be on Ice Cream Team, but I actually didn't have a chance to play any of it.
Mm.
No, I was at a Mud Hens game, which is not geeky. It's like the opposite of geeky, but
no,
that's cool.
No, you do what you love.
Yeah.
Not gonna poo-poo on your good times, even if you want to watch sports games.
It was a fun time, and the Clippers won, so even
good.
Better. Anyway, enough about that. Sports talk.
Sports overload.
Yeah, that's it.
But yeah, it was a good time. I had a lot of fun with it. I was playing with Matt. Well, we tried to play together, but we couldn't. We didn't know enough people to field a team.
Yeah, Samantha and I tried to do that too, and it didn't go. I guess we could have. The two pairs of us could have formed a full team.
Yeah, but we all weren't on. I didn't see you online.
I was. Yeah. I saw you.
I saw you too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah, I saw.
If only there was some sort of device we could have used to communicate with each other during the.
If only.
Yeah. Something that you'd fit into your pocket to send messages back and forth.
What are you talking about? The Nintendo Switch app wasn't online yet. Oh man. But yeah, I had fun with it. Trying to think of some stupid highlights I did. Oh, the jetpack secondary thing for the assault rifle was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's a lot better than the missiles.
Yeah, I hated the missiles.
Yeah,
it took me a second to find out how to beat the missiles.
You just gotta keep moving.
Yeah, I loved running like toward their colors. So when like the circle stopped tracking me, I'm like, you're just painting your own color. It's a wasted missile. You're welcome.
But the targeting on it is kind of lame, and it doesn't feel effective enough to be a special weapon.
It's effective if, say, they catch you grouped up and you're not paying attention. But yeah, as far as I think it's the Charger. Yeah, the Charger has like a fire hose of ink.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
It was. Yeah, that thing was cool and devastating.
I like the splashdown that the roller does, too, where you just kind of do a superhero pose thing. And just an area of effect of ink comes up.
Mm. It's really bad for the knees, though.
I was already hyped for Splatoon. This just
confirms it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was, too.
Everybody keeps talking about how good the Salmon Run is that have it early.
Yeah, I'm excited to check that out.
Yeah, that looks really cool.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited to play that, too. I'm way more excited for Splatoon 2 than I was for ARMS. ARMS was more of like a impulse buy for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, ARMS just doesn't have enough going on.
Yet. I'm sure eventually it will.
It's a fun game and I like it. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't say it's bad. It's just not, there's not a whole lot of depth.
Yeah, once you play through it, you're kind of done.
Yeah. I'm finally starting to get it.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Well, sitting down with the new character, Max Brass, I finally figured out what I was doing wrong, and yeah.
Do you play with the motion control or the controller?
The controller. No, I don't mess with that motion control.
Malarkey.
Yeah. I played through the demo of Splatoon 2, and as soon as I could, I turned those motion controls off.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, the motion aiming is the worst.
Matt was super excited for the motion aiming.
Yeah?
Because...
He would.
Yeah. Well, he plays with a Steam controller when he plays computer games,
mm-hmm.
and he played through all of Doom on the hardest difficulty with the motion controls.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I've heard those are actually more accurate if you can take the time to get used to them.
Oh, yeah. He's like, oh, man, I feel bad for everyone. Everyone's getting stomped. I told him, I was like, well, I mostly use the roller, so that's pointless for me. And then I switched to the rifle and I had more fun. Like, roller's not bad, but it's also not great.
Yeah, I played roller for a while and I enjoyed it.
It's a very niche roll. Roll.
It's a different way to... Yeah. You got to look at it in a different way when you're playing roller.
Well, yeah. Because it's not about, like... Yeah, you kill people with it, but it's more...
You got to be kind of sneaky.
Yeah. Oh, man, half the fun, though, was, like, hiding around the corner, like, sitting down in the ink and, like, waiting for somebody to just kind of walk by. And I'm just like, whoop, I'm going to get you.
Roller's what, like, the best Splatoon player uses.
Oh, really?
Oh, what was that guy's name?
Oh, it's going to bug me.
He was at the Splatoon tournament that they had at E3, and he was just wrecking everyone. It was ridiculous.
That sounds awesome. I'm sorry, but the paint bucket's like the dumbest weapon ever. It's a paint bucket.
It's pretty good, though. When they introduced those to the first game, it like changed up everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's a bucket.
So?
They also have like a washing machine.
Yeah, there's a washing machine.
I really hope, because Splatoon 2 is very similar to Splatoon 1 in like general aspect, that we get a lot of the Splatoon 1 stuff carrying over.
I think it's supposed to.
It's supposed to. Yeah.
Okay.
I know the zapper gun's still in there.
Man, I'm super excited about the zapper gun. But yeah, I did that, and I also caught up on a bunch of Star vs. the Forces of Evil, which I didn't even realize had come back.
I didn't either.
Yeah.
Until you said something about
it. Spoiler.
I'm not going to spoil it, but
did
it's...
Did we even finish the last season?
I think we still need to watch the last episode.
Oh, man. Yeah, it's good. It's good stuff. Like the end of the last season and this season is way more, like, hardcore story-driven. And a lot of, like, past stuff for, like, Muni and Star's mom and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
Super good. I love that show. It's very good. It's probably one of the best cartoons Disney's got going on right now. Till August, when, you know, DuckTales comes out.
I hope DuckTales is good. It looks like it's going to be good.
Oh, man.
Yeah,
I'm
it looks really good.
So excited. Yeah.
Oh, speaking of Disney cartoons, did you see Gravity Falls is getting a comic?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
a graphic novel.
Yeah, for like what the next season would have been or something like that.
I don't know. Alex Hirsch is the one doing it, though.
Yeah,
so
it's canon.
Yeah.
It counts.
Oh, man, that means I'm going to have to get it.
Yeah.
And somebody has to watch the last episodes.
Yeah.
You're going to have to eventually realize that it's done.
No, never. I refuse to accept it.
That's okay. I saw a thing from, because all these companies are preparing, like, their San Diego Comic-Con stuff.
Yeah.
Is, like, a lot of, like, the collectibles and whatnot are coming out. And I saw a statue of Korra that takes place after the end of the series. I super want it. I super want it bad.
Korra?
Legend of Korra.
Avatar. Avatar. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Sorry. It's
not
my jam.
Not a fan.
It's my jam. I don't care.
I'm ambivalent to it.
I love the Avatar universe.
I tried watching it once and I didn't like it.
Maybe we should try it again.
Maybe. I feel like I've tried it three times.
Yeah, I watched the entire first series of it. I don't know. It's just not for me.
It's okay. Yeah. I'll enjoy good cartoons. You guys can go do whatever.
You don't have to throw shade about
it. Yeah, come on.
Well, nice. it's too hot out. I have to throw shade.
Not much.
Oh.
Hey, if you're going to be mean.
That's a short joke, ladies and gentlemen.
I don't know why. I just couldn't get into it. I don't know.
Anyway, that's my check it out.
Yeah. I wish I could elaborate on it, but I really can't. I really don't have any good reason.
Did you want to talk about, was it Sakura Quest?
We could. We started watching an anime called Sakura Quest, and it's about this girl who can't find a job. She's out of school and trying to find a job and can't, which is very relatable. And she somehow bungles her way into becoming, like, the head of a tourism board for a small town. How do you describe how she's the queen of the town?
Oh, jeez.
It's like this big PR campaign that the town has where it's a kingdom of chupacabra. Cause it's hard to describe, which here comes the anime joke about how, but it's actually a really grounded show.
Is it kind of like a slice of life kind of thing?
Kinda. But there's more going on. Like, it almost seems like it's one of those, like, cute anime girls do cute things shows. Mm. But there's more going on to it on than that. But she tries to get people to come to this small town through different tourism schemes and stuff.
Okay.
And it's really cute and good.
Oh, hey. Cute, good things are good.
The characters are well characterized. And it's just a good show, I thought.
Oh, cool. Well, good.
We're at the second to last episode of Riverdale.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, man.
And they solved the mystery.
Yeah.
And barring anything happening in that last episode, it was pretty underwhelming.
A little. Yeah. Well, how... Because I know what one of the big twists was. What was the big... No one should watch Riverdale. So what was it at this point?
Jason Blossom was murdered by his dad.
Yeah.
Because of drugs. Some sort of drug. There was drugs in the maple syrup.
Yeah, yeah, because the Blossoms, they made their fortune from, like, selling maple syrup.
Yeah.
They had a syrup company, and they were putting, like, hiding drugs inside the maple syrup barrels or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, did they go into why his dad, the other reason why his dad... killed Jason?
The incest.
Yeah.
It turns out that the Coopers, Betty's family, and the Blossoms are the one and the same.
Yeah.
They just changed names after a murder happened.
Yeah.
So Polly, who's pregnant with Jason Blossom's kid, is actually, they're actually like cousins or something.
Mm-hmm. Polly, who exists, because last show you said, hey, I think Polly and Betty are the same person.
But no, it just turns out Betty might have just some kind of anger problem.
Yeah.
she's got a dark side in there.
Oh, God, this show is so bad. I'm never going to watch it. Never.
It's pretty bad, but...
I don't think I could even bring myself to hate watch it.
It's a bad show, but I'd be lying if I said I didn't enjoy it.
Like a guilty pleasure kind of thing?
Oh, yeah.
Like you hate yourself for doing it?
Yeah. You have to take a shower after you're done.
Also, recently realized that the kid who plays Jughead is Cody from Sweet Life of Zack and Cody.
So oh, yeah.
I never put that
together.
Yeah,
that's Cole Sprouse. He's also Frankenstein in Big Daddy, the little kid.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Because,
you know, when you're a little kid actor, they usually hire twins to play the same role. So the two of them played that one role.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that's him.
Jughead's the best character, too.
He is.
By far.
Yeah.
You do you, Frankenstein.
Also, Archie's the worst character.
Yeah.
Anytime it's like, oh, I got to deal with football or music and make a choice, it's like, I don't care.
Just do both.
Yeah.
Just who cares? It's not the end of the... Just do both.
I don't care. Get back to the mystery. Like, this show should be the Betty Cooper and Jughead mysteries. Which also, there was an animated series called Archie's Weird Mysteries,
mm-hmm.
which could have been the name of this show, I feel like.
It could have, yeah.
I'm kind of interested to see where they take the second season.
Yeah, I wonder...
A dumpster. It's already there. I mean, they have a huge cast of characters they can pull from, so there's a lot of stuff they could do.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Archie versus Sharknado.
More Ethel mugs.
Isn't that Barb from Stranger Things? Yeah.
Whose dad was harmed by Veronica's dad's bad business practices.
Oh, darn. I bet that's going to be season two, is a lot of Veronica...
A lot of Hiram Lodge.
Yeah.
I went down a Wikipedia hole.
Oh, yeah. It's fun.
Of Archie characters. And, like, a lot of things that I thought were blasphemous that the show was doing
aren't. They're pretty accurate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's his name? They use his... Jughead's dad. They call him P.F.?
They always call him F.P. in the show. And I'm like...
His name has to be something terrible.
Yeah, like, I know his name is going to be really stupid.
Oh, it's
stupid.
Forsyth.
And, yeah, it's Forsyth, like... Pendleton or something. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well,
Pemberton.
Mm-hmm. Well,
which is also Jughead's name.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
Like, I know it's something real stupid and they don't want to say it on the show, so they're calling him FP.
Yeah, that's it.
But I thought Betty and Jughead being an item was not good, but then I read about it and, like, that's a thing that happens.
It's a thing that happens sometimes.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
Oh, I just figured Jughead always had a relationship with burgers.
Well, that's in the comics.
In
the comics, he's asexual, and he just loves burgers. He doesn't really care about people too much. Or at least in the most recent...
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
In the old comics, though, he said, like he doesn't care about women, but if he did, Betty Cooper would be.
That's kind of... And in the modern comics, that's kind of how it's been kind of portrayed as well. Well, I, for my check it outs, didn't really do a ton. You know, in our intro, we always, we mention tech news, but we never actually talk about tech. So I'm going to talk about tech for a second.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amazon Prime had their Prime Day here, last week. And, I splurged a little bit and picked up one of those Echo Dot things.
It was a good deal. They had a good deal
like
on it.
Yeah, like $35. It's really cool. So an Echo Dot, it's like a little mini AI that you, do voice commands to, and it ties into like smart home things and, you can pull things from the internet. And for the most part, it seems to be pretty cool. I have a smart thermostat and a couple mm-hmm. of lights that are like the Wi-Fi connected lights. So I can sit on my couch and tell it to turn my thermostat down or turn lights on and stuff. That's makes me feel like I'm sitting in the future a little bit.
Have you ordered a pizza with it yet?
I haven't ordered a pizza with it yet, but that is something that I'm planning on trying sooner or later.
Space pizza.
Yep. I've set the news for it so I can get news briefings
mm-hmm.
from different things, which is weird because I usually never follow the news, but I think I might start using it with this.
Now that a computer can tell you.
It just tell me. Yeah. It has a 7-minute workout feature, so it actually walks you through like quick, like in 30-second burst different kind of exercise
that's
things.
That's pretty cool.
So that's kind of cool. I have it sitting in my living room. It has an alarm clock feature, so you can get one for a bedroom. It has kitchen for, like, cooking stuff. And the app, the companion app that goes with it, it actually ties multiple, if there's multiple on the same Wi-Fi network together, so that it can alert you from one to the other to the other.
Okay.
Depending on, you know,
where you're at.
Yeah. And that's pretty cool. The one feature I haven't turned on, and I don't like it, and I'm never going to turn it on, is it has a direct call feature where if you know someone who has an Echo Dot and it's in your, like, contacts, your phone, just phone contacts, and it constantly prompts you to, hey, sync your contacts with this thing. They can make phone calls directly to your Echo Dot, but you can't stop it.
Oh, geez.
So it just kind of, it could just pick up automatically.
Oh, God.
And I don't like that. That's a little bit too far for me. So I have purposely not
activated that feature,
and I'm not going to. But
yeah, that just sounds like a recipe for disaster.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, totally. But no, everything else seems very cool with it. And I was looking online. I guess they just released a newest version that has a screen, so it's like the Jetsons video phone style.
Oh,
like,
man.
Yeah, that's kind of cool. I kind of like that. But no, it's a fun little toy to mess around with.
McFly, you're fired.
Yeah. Beyond that, I mean, I don't know. I read some comics. That's always good.
Yeah. Words and pictures
together.
Those funny
That's
pages.
Cool. Yeah, Squirrel Girls in the Savage Lands, which they've turned into an amusement park, a functional like Jurassic Park.
Nice.
Like where nothing goes wrong, and that's kind of cool.
Who's in charge of it?
Just some random.
Oh, it's not like, you know, like Sauron or whatever.
No, there's nothing like that. There is a one page backup story that's going to be running in the next couple issues where Kraven the Hunter is going to the Savage Lands because his own personal arch nemesis, the Poachmaster General, is there killing off all the animals.
The Poachmaster General.
Yeah. And I kind of like the idea of Kraven hunting people who hunt animals.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool. I don't know. Beyond that,
I mean, you know, the world's most dangerous game
is man.
Yeah.
No, I'm pretty sure it's dinosaur.
Intelligent dinosaur.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. After that, I guess tying into that a little bit, I went to the zoo the other day. That was cool.
Oh man, I need to go to the zoo.
Yeah, I haven't been to the zoo in forever.
Yeah, I haven't been there in a while.
They have dinosaurs back this year.
They brought dinosaurs back. Yeah.
Yeah, the dinosaur ride's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. It was super hot.
It's been super hot lately.
Yeah. Oof. Watched an elephant take a bath. That was pretty rad.
I thought you were going to say dump.
No, that'd be pretty cool, too.
I mean, I've been there, done that.
Yeah.
Like, I hate going to the zoo on super hot days. One, it's super hot. But also when it's so hot, the animals don't want to do anything.
Yeah. There was a lot of sleeping animals.
It's miserable for everyone involved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, it's just... There's no fun there.
Yeah. There was something weird that went to the bat exhibit, and, like, there were only three bats, and there was a bunch of caution tape around the entire exhibit.
That's weird. So,
we don't know if there was a giant bat escape or what, but, yeah, that was weird.
Some kind of bat-on-bat crime.
Yeah, scene. That's it, yeah.
Someone get Batman in there.
Dun, dun.
There's a tiny chalk outline of a bat, like, on the floor.
Just looks like the Batman logo.
It's just the Batman logo. Yeah. All right, well, hey, let's go ahead and take a break here, and when we come back, we'll get into a little bit of news.
Bat justice.
Okay, we're back. That was the Doctor Who theme done by the Simmertones, a ska band that no one knows about, but who cares because all ska sounds the same. Hey, and I say that as a ska fan, okay? I can admit that every song sounds exactly the same.
Oh, man.
Pick it up.
I forget what band it was, but there was a song where the song was about kids who left their toys all over the place, and they need to pick it up.
It was the Yo Gabba Gabba episode.
That's what it was, yeah.
Oh, I thought it was this angry old people ska.
No, and then it had a second verse where they went to a restaurant. They went to the IHOP. And when the check comes, you need to pick it up.
I mean, let's not kid ourselves. IHOP isn't a restaurant.
No.
It's a sad destination.
Yeah.
I love IHOP.
Waffle House is better. Although I have kind of a vested interest in Waffle House a little bit. Yeah. Anyway, let's get into a little bit of news. Why do we play that Doctor Who ska song?
No reason.
No reason? Okay, no. Moving on.
I mean, you know, of all of time and space, there was no impending giant, huge news or anything.
No, nothing like that.
No, they announced the 13th Doctor, and it's Jodie Whittaker, who is a woman.
Yeah.
Breaking news. Women exist.
Yeah.
Even for Time Lords.
This has been too long, like, coming. Like,
yeah.
This needed to happen a couple of Doctors
like,
ago.
Okay, I'm going to preface this. I am super excited.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
When they released the trailer, I had just woke up when they released the trailer.
Mm-hmm.
And, I sat there and I was like, when you see her hand, like, and, like, the TARDIS key appears in it, I was like, it looks kind of like a woman's hand. And I was like, maybe it's just a slender person. And then she, like, took the hood off, and I'm like, like, my mind, literally exploded. I had to go find it. It was bad.
Yeah. I didn't think they were going to do it this time. I figured, you know, it'll be a dude, and then maybe next time it'll be a woman.
Yeah, because I thought getting a female master was our consolation prize for not getting a female doctor when Capaldi got
it. As it turns out, they were, like, testing the waters,
yeah.
I think.
Though I did read an article where Moffat and Russell T. Davies actually worked together on the final episode of this last season.
Okay,
and
maybe it'll be good, then.
And, well, it's already done.
When we watch it, maybe it'll be good.
They had actually teased a joke that they were going to have a pregnant Missy.
Oh, jeez.
But it didn't happen. Anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, this is cool. I mean, I have zero vested interest in the Doctor, but, like, I'm excited. I'll watch the first couple episodes with this. This is neat.
I'm not particularly familiar with her, though.
She was in Broadchurch.
Oh, right. That's a good show.
And I only know that because of every news article I've said is Broadchurch's Jodie Whittaker. I'm like, okay, I should probably remember
that. Well,
that
was probably, like, the last big thing she did.
Yeah.
Broadchurch was a really good show.
That's what I hear.
Tennant in it.
Yep. Yeah, and then they had an American series called Grace Point.
Oh, that's right.
Which I heard was not as good.
It wasn't. It really wasn't. Like, watching the British one was a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
Though I didn't watch any of the second season of it. And seeing David Tennant with a scruffy depression beard was kind of weird. But anyway, female doctor, super exciting. So far, a hoodie is part of her outfit. But
that's not...
I know.
That's not what... They don't know yet. They haven't decided yet what she's wearing, because they asked her...
It'll be an awesome suit.
Yeah,
I hope so.
A very smart pantsuit. That would be, like, great.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm super excited. Parts of the internet or not?
Surprise, surprise. Yeah.
Do we really want to give them any kind of...
I don't, but we need to at least mention it, because it is a thing that is happening. There are a lot of angry...
Turds?
Yes. There's...
It's a garbage can.
Yeah.
I like turds. I think that is a very technical term for these people. Are very upset that because their fictional character is a lady fictional character and not a male fictional character like it has been since for the beginning.
Their fictional shape-shifting alien is a lady.
Yeah.
Even though canonically they established a long time ago that a Time Lord could regenerate into a woman.
Yeah.
I mean, hell, they established a couple seasons ago when the Master regenerated into a lady.
Yes.
I don't even know Doctor Who, and I know that that's a thing. So,
and we see a Time Lord General do it on screen.
Okay, great.
Yeah, in that one episode. Yeah, uh-huh. That happens.
Great. Awesome. I don't want to give these people time on air.
No,
but
no.
Like, just... enjoy your thing. And, you know, if all it takes is for the gender of a character to be swapped temporarily, and let's face it, it's temporary.
Yeah, everything the Doctor does is temporary.
It's temporary. Like, if this is all it takes for you to go, I'm not going to hate Doctor Who now, I'm never going to watch it again, you weren't a fan of the show to begin with.
Yeah.
Just relax and enjoy your thing. Or, you know what, if you don't like it, fine. But
give it a chance.
Give it a chance.
First.
Give it a chance.
That's what gets me. That there's a lot of people I've seen that's like, well, I'm not sexist, but I just don't like it. And it's like, but you're inherently being sexist because the only thing you know about it is the fact that the Doctor is a woman.
Yeah. You know, I've always said in every form of media, you got to experience it first. You got to experience it first. If she steps on screen and is awful...
Then you have a reason. And not be sexist.
Yeah.
Well, it's like when we had like the first two episodes with Capaldi. I liked Capaldi. I hated everything else.
Yeah. Well, that's about the whole the whole Capaldi line was like, I love Capaldi, and they keep giving him trash.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm more talking about, like, the dumb cartoon sound effects.
Oh, God,
oh,
yeah,
God, that was bad.
When he first got regenerated.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was rough.
I still get mad about that. I was like, I wish that we could get, like, an edition where they, like, edit that crap out.
Yeah, George Lucas that out of there.
Yeah, I remember watching that one episode, and he, like, gets bonked on the head.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Like, real cartoon what? Hammer bonk.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
I'm kind of surprised a puppet didn't do it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's Doctor Who. It's not out of the realm of possibility.
No, that's true. Yeah.
Or a really bad CG thing.
Yeah. I'm just excited to see what kind of stories they could tell with a female doctor.
Yeah, because Moffat's supposed to be out, so we're going to get like a new director and
yeah,
everything coming
God.
In.
Thank God.
Good.
And, you know, it's going to be, it's a new, it's legitimately, it's going to be a completely new era for Who.
Great. Cool. This might be what gets me to give it a shot.
Another shot?
Another shot. Yeah. Then again, my reasoning for not watching Doctor Who isn't because of whether it's good or bad. It's because I can't watch all of it because there are episodes that are missing.
Yeah.
And that drives me nuts to the point where if I can't complete it, I might not, I just, I can't,
well, just
I can't
think of the new
it.
Ones as a separate thing.
But I can't do it. I can't do that.
Because they basically are.
I know. But my brain is weird.
No,
broken,
I get what you're saying, because I've gone back and, you know, I like classic, well, I like parts of classic Who, because going way back is really hard to do, because it's really, really bad.
Yeah.
I
like bad, so that's okay.
And the way it's serialized, everything is, like, drawn out really long.
Yeah. Like, each story is, like, 4 or 5 episodes, and it's like, ugh.
Yeah.
But yeah, but here lately they've been going back and they've been taking old episodes, like either they have only partial of
or just the audio.
Yeah, and animated it like it was on the show.
Yeah, and I'll take that. Just when they finish all of it and it's when it's done and they have all the episodes in some form or another available to watch, I'll watch it. I'll start from the beginning. I'll go all the way through.
They're so loose canonically though, too.
And I understand that, and it doesn't matter.
Isn't Fathom Events having a Five Doctors event sometime soon?
Riff Tracks is.
Oh, yeah, Riff Tracks. Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah.
I already got tickets for that one.
Nice. Excellent.
I've watched the Five Doctors. It's interesting.
It'll be fun with the Riff Tracks dudes.
But yeah, I'm excited for it. Complete shakeup of anything for Doctor Who, so...
Cool. Great.
Woo!
Yeah, this last season has, for every good episode, there's 2 bad ones, so it'll be nice to see it change.
Yeah. We're assuming.
Yeah. And good on the BBC for willing to
try something completely different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not try to, like, recapture the Tenet years again.
I mean, don't get me wrong. The Tenet years were great.
Yeah, that's some top tier Who right there.
Yeah, that's like some golden age right there.
Yeah.
Russell T. Davies and David Tennant.
Yep.
Now I kind of want to go back and watch those again.
Moffat should have had 2 seasons. He had about 2 seasons worth of good ideas. And then he should have left after Amy and Rory left.
I don't know.
Yeah. Anyway, that's about as much we can drag
out of
that blue box.
If we start talking any more about it, we'll have to start talking about the negative internet garbage and
yeah.
I don't want to.
And it's wrong.
Do that.
It's wrong. This is good news. Give it a chance.
Exactly. So, moving on to other stuff. Evo happened last weekend. Evo is a giant fighting game tournament.
It is the
convention.
Fighting
it's
game
like
tournament.
The yeah. Out in Las Vegas. Something that I someday want to get to. Even if I'm not participating, especially because I probably won't be participating because I'd get blown up first round.
Yeah, it's the World Series of fighting games.
Yeah,
tournament.
It's like the San Diego Comic Con of fighting games, and they have all sorts of different games running. Some good, some not so good.
Some Super Smash Brothers Melee.
Yeah, God, Melee.
I feel like they just have to put it in to appease the weirdos who would throw a big fit if they took it out.
Yeah, well, the days of Melee being played there are numbered because the number of working, like, GameCube controllers that can do what the players can do.
Because they basically break
them
don't play the game right.
Right, and there's not a whole lot of those left, so eventually they're going to have to move on to something else, or just stop playing Smash Brothers at Evo. Anyway,
or just play the latest one that's perfectly fine.
yeah. Anyway, there were a bunch of character announcements for different games on the last day, on the Sunday of Evo, and so we're just going to fly through them real quick. I'm the only one that really cares about this stuff, so let me just talk about it real quick.
I care.
First off, Tekken 7, it's been really exciting watching Tekken 7 kind of evolve, because the game launched with Akuma from Street Fighter as a playable character in the Tekken game. He was actually playable in the story mode as well. He had a large part in the Tekken story mode, which is interesting. They announced that another guest character from another fighting game series is making an appearance. Geese Howard, who has been the main antagonist from King of Fighters
Fatal Fury,
especially Fatal Fury, is coming in. And he has all of the Geese Howard moves. He has the Rapukens and the...
the Rapukens and the Papukens.
Yeah.
The Shiryukens.
Yeah. Well, no, he has the... that crazy rising storm where you have to put in a pretzel motion on the stick to get that to work.
Oh,
It's impossible to do. I've never done it. Yeah, it's impossible. You have to start like down back to up forward to down, slide around a 720 down into down forward. It's like you basically have to break your thumb to get it to work.
360 no scope.
Yeah, that's it. Exactly. But he has all of his moves, including his counter where he takes a hit and like flips him over his shoulder, and none of the other characters in Tekken have something like that. So that's exciting.
I was never like, I played a crap ton of the Tekken games.
Mm-hmm.
I never really cared for their control scheme.
No.
Yeah, I've never really cared for Tekken, honestly.
Yeah.
Like, there are characters in Tekken I like, but that was about it.
Yeah, I always prefer Dead or Alive.
Yeah, Dead or Alive, sure.
And not just because of the
there's
boobs.
A good, yeah. Going from that, they introduced the next character for Street Fighter V, who was a callback to
Final Fight.
Final Fight, Abigail, who is this giant Canadian dude.
Like, literally, he's giant.
He is double the size of, like, the other playable characters.
Yeah, like, everyone comes up to, like, his waist.
Yeah, it's cartoonish.
Yeah. And
also
the fact that he just says
great.
His name. He just says his name
yeah,
all the time.
Yeah, he's like a Pokemon. All he can say is Abigail. But no, it looks like every light or medium hit he takes has a hit of armor, which means he takes the damage, but he doesn't get hit stunned. So,
yeah.
Like, he could just walk through a punch to grab you, and that's kind of a big deal. He just looks like a giant... I don't know. He looks like Baby Huey.
Yeah. Like, and Andre the Giant.
And Andre the Giant. Well, no, Hugo was Andre the Giant.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah. But no, I guess his special is he lifts you into the air and punches you like a speed bag.
Nice.
Like while you're floating in air, he's like, bum, bada, 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 bada. Yeah.
Abigail. Eh?
Yeah. Let's see. Trunks, who is a Dragon Ball character.
Yep, they announced Future Trunks for...
Future Trunks.
Yes, that is Future Trunks.
Yeah.
For Dragon Ball FighterZ. Or is it just Dragon Ball FighterZ?
They've been calling it Dragon Ball FighterZ, but it looks like FighterZ.
Yeah, with a Z instead of an
yeah.
S.
Yeah, the game looks really good. I don't know or care about Dragon Ball, but the game itself and the animations look, like, extremely good.
Oh, yeah. Like, I was pretty excited for this game when it was first announced.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I liked playing, like, the first couple, like, Budokai games
mm-hmm.
When those first came out, and those were all right.
Xenoverse looked fun.
Oh, yeah. Well, Xenoverse was, like, almost, like, a completely different thing. Like, it was a fighting game, but it was also, like...
It was an MMO fighter.
Yeah, like an adventure RPG fighting game.
Mm-hmm. You can make your own OC.
Yep. Yeah, you could literally make your own OC character.
Mm-hmm. Do not steal.
Yeah. just to have an idea about what Xenoverse actually pulled in from the Dragon Ball Abridged YouTube series.
Seriously?
Yeah. There is a voice pack where they have the guy who was Nappa.
Is that Takahata 101?
Yeah.
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 Like, he's sitting, like, he was playing it on their Team 4-Star stream or whatever, and he's like, wait a minute, that's my voice. He's like, hey, Vegeta. I was like, oh my God.
That's awesome.
That's kind of great.
Yeah. I've been really meaning to, like, pick that up. I really wanted to play that.
Mm-hmm. I was surprised Trunks wasn't wearing any.
Ah,
funny. That's a good joke. I don't care. That's a good joke. But no, the game looks really good. It's done by Arc System, who do Blaze Blue and Guilty Gear. Those are the big two. And their games always look really crisp and good.
Yeah, like I love the fact that it looks like the show, mm-hmm. but it is a 3D-ish fighting game.
Yeah, it's a 2.5D fighter. It's on a 2D plane, but they're 3D models, so you can so the camera can spin around them 360 for like special attacks and stuff.
Yeah,
and because they're cell shaded, it just looks like a cartoon.
Yeah, it looks so good.
Yeah, really, really good. And
if they would just do it with a show that I liked.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
I mean, there are plenty of fighting animes out there they could really pull from.
And JoJo's Bizarre Adventure.
Yes.
Fist of the North Star.
Yeah.
I think there was a Fist of the North Star game.
There's a ton of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like none of them are good.
Yeah. Well, except for the one where Mr. Hart eats that guy. Like, that's his special move is he just eats you. Yeah, anyway.
Now, I want a JoJo game that looks like this. That would be
Yeah,
rad.
That would be pretty great. The last thing was, and this is one that it needs the most explanation, and it came out of nowhere. There's a company called Arika.
Which, fun fact, I thought they were Akira until just a little bit ago.
No,
they've been around for a bazillion years.
Do you know why they're named Arika? Because the owner's name is Akira.
Oh, snap.
Yeah,
brain has been twisting around those letters, so it said Akira for my entire life until this moment.
Yeah. So, yeah, yeah. So anyway, years and years and years ago, I think this is PlayStation 1 era, Arika teamed up with Capcom to do a 3D polygonal fighter using Street Fighter characters, much like Virtual Fighter and Tekken. At the time, because that was kind of the big thing at the time.
I think I played it.
And they introduced a bunch of, the game had, it was Street Fighter EX, and there was Street Fighter 2 EX, I think. And the game had, Ken Ryu, a lot of the Street
Fighter
staples, but they also introduced a bunch of their own characters into the Street Fighter lore, like Doctrine Dark, who was like a trap player, and Cracker Jack, who was like this bouncer with a baseball bat.
Yeah.
And all these other characters. Well, after Skullamania, who is basically salesman Kamen Rider.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. No, his whole backstory is he was a salaryman or a salesman who had to put on a costume like at like a kid's party to like for his company, and it was the Skullamania costume. And then he stopped a burglary wearing that costume and decided, hey, I'm going to be a superhero. Yeah, quit his job. This is me now. I am now Skullamania. And he's just a guy in a skeleton costume with a Kamen Rider scarf. It's pretty great. Anyway, after Arika and Capcom split, Arika made their own fighting game. I think it was called Fighting Lair or something like that.
Yeah.
And it was all of their own original characters from the EX series. So the timelines kind of split.
Yeah.
And Arika hasn't done anything in, like, I want to say 15 years. They've just been sitting on their IPs, and people have been going nuts asking them, hey, can we get some of these characters that have ties to Street Fighter into Street Fighter? Well, and Akira, whatever, is the guy who owns Arika, has been like, no, can't really do it. They just can't reach an agreement. Well, it's because on April Fool's Day this year, they released a trailer for a new 2.5D style fighter using the Arika characters, and it's hype. And everyone thought it was a joke. Everyone thought it was a big joke because, hey, April Fool's Day, whatever. Turns out, no, it's not a joke. It's really coming, and it's coming next year. And they had a reveal trailer for Skullamania and Darren Meister, who is a giant Indian wrestler. It's super great. With a Wario mustache. It's super great. I can't believe these characters are back. It's
Skullamania.
Skullamania.
That's all
great.
We need.
That's all we need. That's all we need.
That's all the world needs mm-hmm. right now.
Now more than ever.
Yeah, we need Skullamania now more than ever.
But no, it's really fascinating that these characters are coming back in a fighting game. And it looks a lot like Street Fighter IV, which was an excellent fighting game. I can't wait to see more about this.
I love your fighting game history parts of your brain.
Yeah, I'm glad someone does. but anyway, yeah, there was a lot of stuff. And I'm sure because it was Evo, here in the next week or so, there's probably going to be a news article about how Jamie Lee Curtis was there in costume. Yeah. Because the last 2 years, she showed up in secret costume.
Yep.
Yeah, let's see.
Her and her son.
Her and her son. And last year, Christopher Guest, her husband, was there as well as Dr. B from Tekken.
Yeah.
Yeah. But no, 2 years ago she was Vega.
I remember that.
And that was kind of great. And last year I can't remember who she was, but it doesn't matter. Anyway, let's move on from fighting games because who cares? There was a trailer for The Disaster Artist. Who wants to talk about The Disaster Artist? I've been talking too much.
Oh, man, Disaster Artist. So it's a movie with James Franco and Seth Rogen and them where they are...
It's a movie based on a book.
Yeah.
Based on the making of the Room.
The Room. Yeah. Yeah. I'm hype. This is great.
Oh, man. And, like, James Franco looks like Tommy Wiseau. And it's,
oh, God.
It's creepy.
Yeah.
I think his impression is a little lacking, but...
Well, I think they might have had to tone it down because the stipulation for getting Tommy Wiseau, the guy who created The Room, to sign off on it was that Tommy wanted to be in the movie somewhere. So they're like... And they had to agree.
Yeah.
So they might have toned things down a little bit to make it seem like they're not totally poking fun at him, which they kind of totally are poking fun at him a little bit.
Well, they've, like, released stuff before, and, like, his impression was a little more spot on. I feel like this last trailer was, like, was more James Franco trying to be Tommy Wiseau and not so much him being Tommy Wiseau.
Yeah,
so
it's like, I kind of agree. But no, for people who don't know, The Room is this... hilariously bad.
It's so bad.
Oh, it's great. Yeah, it was directed. It was Tommy Wiseau is
a space alien from space.
Yeah, basically.
he's a man with a very nondescript European accent.
Yeah, doesn't quite understand how American cinema works, but
or just human cinema
or humans. He doesn't know how humans work, but he directed this movie. It was supposed to be this dark
and like, wrote it.
Yeah. And starred in it. It's supposed to be this dark, like, drama about a love triangle, and it's awful and hilarious, and it's kind of taken on, it's kind of become a dark comedy where people, it's almost like, I don't know how else to describe it. It's
like he went into it thinking he was making this artsy, like, masterpiece, and for forever people have just been making fun of it.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's so bad.
It's like an Ed Wood kind of scenario.
Yeah, and it's... And what makes it so great is that it was so done so earnestly.
Yeah.
Like, if you go into something, like if you have a Sharknado or something like that, where they go in knowing it's a joke.
It's awful, yeah.
Falls flat. But when you go in and you are earnest and you're like, no, this is a serious movie about serious things. I mean, the movie ends with Tommy Wiseau shooting himself.
Like, spoilers.
Spoilers. Well, yeah, spoilers. But, like, it's supposed to be this super serious, dark thing, and it's... Super not.
Yeah.
It's super bad.
Totally misses the mark.
Yeah.
Oh, hi, doggy.
Oh, hi, doggy. You're my favorite customer.
You're my favorite customer.
And he was so inept while directing it, too. Like, he had a standard def camera and one of those red, like, high def cameras. And usually people use that, you know, one for action scenes and one's for not. Or you put the cameras in two different areas to get two different, like... shots of like two different angles. He didn't know what he was doing. He sat both cameras next to each other. So both cameras have just very, very slightly like different perspectives. And you could tell like he would just in the editing would just cut willy nilly from one to the other. So people just are slightly a little bit out of place between like cuts back and forth. Yeah. But no, Greg Sestero, the guy who played Mark in the movie, wrote a book called The Disaster Artist, and the book's great. It was like a behind the scenes of making the movie, and yeah, James Franco is making a movie based on the book, based on the movie.
I've been meaning to read that book for the longest time.
I need to.
I think my brother read it. He said it was really good.
Yeah, but no, this trailer looks great. I didn't realize Seth Rogen was in it, but it's James Franco, so I'm not surprised.
Yeah, they're like best friends.
Yeah.
They've been best friends ever since Freaks and Geeks.
Freaks and Geeks, yeah.
It didn't make me super hyped, but it didn't make me not want to see it either.
Yeah.
It's kind of...
Yeah, like, yeah, that's a thing.
Yeah.
I'm super hyped for it.
I really hope
it's
good, though.
Yeah.
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 I was hyped when he posted that picture of him and his full makeup and everything. I said, oh, hi, Mark.
Yeah. Well, that's his... And the guy playing Mark is his brother. Davey Franco.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Davey looks just like... Mark
it's,
as well.
Yeah, I saw that. It was creepy.
It's kind of eerie. Yeah.
I hope they do a good job, because I could see it going south.
Yeah, I can too.
There's going to be a delicate balance they're going to have to make between, you know, making a movie and just making fun of the
movie.
I hope. Well, the thing that makes me feel okay about it is Franco legitimately loves The Room. There's a huge contingent of, like, Hollywood actors that really kind of brought the movie to light and, like, made it well known amongst, you know, the general populace. Between James Franco and Ant-Man.
Paul Rudd.
Paul Rudd loves that movie and would, like, get his celebrity friends. Because for Wiseau, like, for a year rented out this little repertory theater to have one screening of The Room just play for a year. Because Wiseau has more money than he knows what to do with.
Does anybody know how he got all the money?
There's a theory that he was importing jeans. And he made his money by selling cheaply made jeans from space. or Europe somewhere.
Space Europe.
Yeah.
They're space pants.
Yeah, and the only tie to that is there's a couple of old ads with Tommy Wiseau selling American, it's like, what do you call it, America's Best Jeans or something like that. But yeah, no, I guess he just has more money than he knows what to do with. And like,
that must be a nice problem.
It would be nice.
He has more money than he has sense.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And but he rented it out for a year, and Paul Rudd would, like, get his celebrity friends to go, like, you got to see this thing. This is nuts. And that's how it kind of took off. But no, I think James Franco has enough love for The Room that he wouldn't make it a complete, like, bash fest. I think this is coming from a place of, like, I don't want to say respect, but, like,
I think the closest thing to it. I think he also realized that the movie is also, you know, bad.
Yeah. And this is Franco's first big directing gig, as far as I know. I think he's done a couple of TV things, but this is the first movie he's directed.
Did he direct Palo Alto, or did he just write it?
I think he just wrote that one.
Yeah.
But this is, like, his first major thing, and I don't think he would purposely screw up his first directing gig.
Although, if he does screw it up, does it earnestly?
Earnestly, maybe it'll be, like, a bad movie in the vein of, yeah, see, there you go. I was thinking that
art,
as well.
Art imitating life, it's a vicious cycle.
Yeah,
it's life imitating art, imitating life, imitating art.
Something.
Yeah, it's a serpent eating its own tail.
That's it. Yeah,
the Ouroboros of The Room.
Yes. but no, it looks great. I'm looking forward to it. Hey, I think we have pretty well hit time here, so let's go ahead and wrap things up. You've been listening to Nerd Overload. Thank you very much for tuning in. You can find us each and every day over at nerdoverload.com.
You can also find us at Facebook at facebook.com/nerdoverloadradio.
You can email us at staff@nerdoverload.com.
You can tweet at us at @nerd_overload and subscribe to our YouTube channel, Nerd Overload TV, or also subscribe to our Twitch channel, Nerd Overload Live.
That's right. We're also on iTunes and Stitcher. And actually, we're on TuneIn, the radio app as well.
Oh.
I don't know how we ended up over there, and they only put, like, 3 episodes up at a time, but we are on there. So check us out over there. Just do a search for Nerd Overload.
Just showed up over there?
Just kind of showed up. They just kind of found us. I don't know how.
That's weird.
That's very weird. I think they have something tied into iTunes. I don't know. Anyway, check us out over there. And again, thank you all for tuning in, and we will be back next week.
Peace out.